Bubblegum Punk Fun. Known nationally and internationally, this is an excellent opportunity to see what venues around the country have known for years. Pure Punk Joy at WMNF's Tropical Heatwave May 4th at the Cuban Club. For ticket information, go to tropicalheatwave.org.
Yo, this is George Dr. Funkenstein Clinton, and you're listening to WMNF Tampa. They do the dog, y'all.
The opinions presented on the Healthy Steps show are the evidence-based opinions of Dr. Fred Harvey, the callers, and his guests. These are not the opinions of the staff, the volunteers, or the board of WMNF. The information provided on the show is not intended to diagnose or treat any disease. There is no implied patient-physician relationship in these calls. The nature of the calls is educational and informational only.
Good morning to you. Yes, you, my dear roommate in Radioland, you are listening to the beating heart of music and news here on WMNF Tampa. And welcome to the Healthy Steps radio show, the favorite radio show to stream in Kennerick, California. And you can stream us as well at WMNF.org. And great day in the morning. Today's show is again dedicated to you. It is Ask Me Anything Monday, the best darn thing to come down the radio pikes and CBS Radio Theater. Today is not the day to be whamby-pamby. You have waited this long, so wait no more. There is no one that can ask your question as well as you can, and there is nobody that can answer your questions better than Dr. Fred Harvey. So you know what to do. If you have any medical questions or concerns, give us a call at 813-239-9663. Irene would love to put you in the queue. So once again, that numbered call is 813-239-9663. And you can also send an email to dj@wmnf.org or text us at 813-433-0885. Good morning to you, Dr. Harvey. AMA Monday is always a real tour de force kind of show, so I'm going to stop my kibitzing and give you the mic. What have you got for us today, Dr. Fred?
Well, happy Earth Day, Bill, and everybody at WMNF.
Thank you.
Happy Earth Day, all you healthy steppers out there.
And happy it Earth is, Day to you, too, there, Doctor.
Thank you. Thank you. What a wonderful time to be on planet Earth. We have so much happening, so many good things, so many people trying to work for the health of the planet. And today is the day to really focus on all the initiatives and think about why we need to be really helping our planet, because we have been greedily disrupting ecosystems, biospheres, and animal and plant life and mineral life on this planet. Yes, the mineral kingdom's alive. You know it moves. You know it. It's breathing. We watch how volcanoes erupt. Our planet is not static. And we need to respect the fact that it's a living being. And we are part of it. I'm really heartened when I look at a study that was published in, it was 3 years ago. I bet it's even more now. You know, there's a lot of, distraction that occurs in the public media. People focus on a lot of negativity because it sells. And so I think there's a skewed view because, unfortunately, our news media tends to allow loudmouth, ignorant people a voice, a much bigger voice than they should actually get because they're freaking loud. You know, I have been a little disconcerted by thinking that there's a lot of people that really don't understand that climate change is real. And our world has been shifting over the past several years. In 2014, there was actually less than half of the people that were concerned and alarmed. And if you added the cautious people thinking about it, but not really committed one way or another, it made it to about 67% of the population. That's a pretty good amount of people that are thinking about climate change as a real issue. And yet in 2021, well over half were alarmed or concerned. And with the added cautious people, we have 75% of the population that now is actually considering this is an issue. That's good. Because what we seem to hear in the media is the exact opposite. And what we see from our really impaired political class, the representatives that are not representing us in Congress and not doing anything about this problem, they're not listening to the opinions of their constituents. Because if 75% of the people in 2021 believe there's an issue that needs to be acted on here, but Congress won't do it, that means there's another interest involved here and we need to be paying attention. You know, corporate interests are really guiding much of what our government does. And it's not a good thing, because our government is of the people, by the people, and for the people, and not of the corporation, by the corporation, and for the corporation, even though we are deluded to think that we must worship capitalistic corporations because they're job creators, when in fact they're job killers. Think about it. Tampa Electric poisoned Florida's estuaries for years by lying about the scrubbers on its stacks and polluting Florida with mercury. You know, you can't eat many fish out of the freshwater lakes and rivers in Florida because they're so full of mercury, because we've been lied to. But today is Earth Day. Today's a day to celebrate our home. Today is celebrate our mother. And we really got to think about it, because there are things coming. There are some really expert reports, one that was published on April 22nd, that is today, from the World Economic Forum, that looks at quantifying the impact of climate change on human health. And they look at three major areas of concern that are going to impact us greatly. Extreme weather events. Right now, 40 million people are living in Africa in severe drought. 40% of the lower 48 states in the United States and 17% of the European population are facing drought. Florida is behind in water. It's sunny, but we're not getting the water that we need to grow our plants. And so extreme weather is going to continue happening. In fact, I was just looking at a Scientific American article from May 10 of last year. More frequent dust storms could be in our future. There was a picture of a horrible interstate collision of 72 vehicles because of a dust storm. Monoculture agriculture, the use of pesticides, killing out the native grasses that hold the Midwest soil in place, is likely. Scientists are predicting we're going to have another dust bowl like in the 1930s. Are we 5 years away from the grapes of wrath? This is a question that bothers me, because we're not paying attention and we have the possibility. We can do this, but we're letting corporations tell us what not to do. Air pollution is another thing that's actually coming from the problem. Burning fossil fuels does this. Many people in the third world still live in shacks and burn wood for their cooking and lighting and heating fires. This is particulate pollution. We know that particulate pollution, air quality, is deadly. Poor air quality is linked to respiratory diseases such as asthma. We know that there are like 8,000 or more hospital admissions in America due to the poor air quality caused by the large coal-fired power plant in the middle of Texas, that its pollution effluvium floats up the Appalachian Ridge and causes 8,000 plus hospitalizations annually for asthma all along the western side of the Appalachians. We know this stuff is real. We need to stop it. We can do better. Vector-borne diseases. There's another one. Vector-borne diseases. You've heard of the Zika virus. You've heard of malaria, dengue fever, Ebola. Vectors transmit these viruses. Lyme disease is a global pandemic. It's not talked about because we had another more vicious and acutely fatal pandemic called COVID-19 that distracted us, but it's expected or suspected that about one third of all Americans have been exposed to the Borrelia burgdorferi bug that causes Lyme disease. That's over 100 million people that have been infected, more than likely, and some may have ongoing post-inflammatory or post-Lyme inflammatory condition. Post-Lyme syndrome is real, as is post-COVID. These things cause ongoing inflammation in people that are sick. And part of the sickness comes from the pollution. Water and food insecurity is coming. It's already here in many places, and it's getting worse. We're having decreasing crop yields because of the climate changes. Mental health impacts are real. These horrible existential threats from extreme weather events are causing people to have mental health challenges. It's expected that the total cumulative effect by climate change by 2050 is going to increase healthcare costs by well over $1 trillion. We need to build healthy and resilient societies. We can do this. We can work together. We can stop some of this problem, but we have to actually admit that it's happening and address it. We really have to address it. Drought is going on around the globe. Floods, we're seeing many more floods. Rainfall is excessive in many places and not present in others. And the heat waves are deadly. You know, we're in the 10th consecutive hottest month ever. 10th hottest month ever. It's not just going by the year now. Last year tied the previous year. We have 10 of the hottest months ever now. And we need to act, and I need you folks to act. I do believe we have a caller on the line, but this is WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM.
No, you jumped the gun there, Doctor. We do not have a caller, so I'm going to get down on my knees and just beg someone to give us a call here on Earth Day. This is the Healthy Steps Radio Show with Dr. Fred Harvey on WMNF Tampa. And give us a call at 813-239-9663. Irene is in the control room waiting for you. So again, that number is 813-239-9663. Or send your email, if you're the shy one, to dj@wmnf.org. Back to you there, Doctor.
Thank you. Thank you. So, you know, climate change is a big piece of what I would like to focus on for my Earth Day. But there's so many other things we can do because the Earth is in jeopardy in a lot of ways. Microplastics are a big problem. So consider avoiding the use of single-use plastic containers. Try to get away from that. Refuse the utensils they might offer you for takeout. And another thing to keep yourself healthy is to avoid receipts. Refuse your receipt. Let them email it to you or whatever other options there might be, because the receipts have this BPA, bisphenol A. It's an industrial chemical, and it is related to the ability to make the imprint on the paper. And it's a xenobiotic. Xenobiotics are organic chemicals that kind of resemble the chemicals in our body, and then they can disrupt things. So BPA is an endocrine disrupting chemical. And so we have evidence that BPA is linked to diabetes, heart disease, cancers, erectile dysfunction. Don't touch the receipt. And don't actually subject your poor checker, the clerk. Don't let them print it and throw it away. Just tell them not to print one. You know, humans are designed to walk, and, you know, we can impact both our health and the health of the planet by choosing to take a walk instead of driving to your nearest store if you have a walkable neighborhood. I know Sarasota and Tampa aren't exactly designed for walking with their 8-lane multi-highways that have a crosswalk every half mile. It's insane. We don't have friendly cities a lot here in Florida. And also, I know in much of the country where urban sprawl has just spread things out, so you don't really have much of a chance. But those are some things you can start looking at to shift. And I do believe that Bill was successful in bringing some callers on board.
Yeah, it's not a pretty sight, me down on my knees, but it does the trick sometimes. I've got Carl, Kelly, Derek, and Lorena on the phone. So let's go to Carl. Good morning to you, Carl.
Hey, good morning.
Hi there.
Happy Earth Day. Anyway, I'm enjoying the show. Yeah, America needs to clean up its act big time. But a lot of Americans don't realize that if China and India don't take dramatic steps soon, it won't matter what we do. They burn coal for their power, and they're not moving away from it, and it's an enormous problem. And I think that there's a lot of problems the human race have right now, and we're starting to run out of time. That's my comment.
I hear you, Carl. But you know, I think I understand the global concept there of if everybody doesn't pitch in, we're not going to succeed in this issue. But I believe that everybody doing their best is the ethical answer. And if we make an effort, maybe somebody else will catch on. It may be that China ends up catching on. Somebody has to act.
I agree. Absolutely. What you just said, I agree 100%.
Thank you. We have to do our part.
Thank you.
I think everybody takes a healthy step. Every person, you know, one healthy step every day leads us on a journey towards vibrant health.
Well, it looks like Carl had gotten his answer and his comments in. We appreciate that, Carl. Let's go to Kelly in Tampa. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. Thank you, Dr. Harvey. Thank you.
You're welcome,
everyone,
Kelly.
Everyone brings this beautiful program. I suffered an immediate reflection of global warming. I've been home to my native island, and my therapy usually is to sit on the edge of the ocean and just receive the waves to my body because I'm very arthritic. And this season, November to March, the waves were so warm. The ocean is so angry that the waves just roll in with a vengeance. And I couldn't get my therapy of the ocean. And I felt drained because I couldn't get my ocean therapy because the waves are rolling across the rocks, rolling across the street 5 days on average of per week in my home in South America, San Andres Island, south of Panama, 30 minutes by plane. Tiny little spot, but Dr. Harvey, the waves is just is something to see. The people couldn't go scuba diving. They cannot go scuba diving. Everybody just got to stand back and respect the ocean. I hope we can read into that for all of us to take better care of our oceans. Thank you.
I sure hope we can. You're welcome. You know, it's really sad that so many island nations are in jeopardy, and island nations tend to be less wealthy than the first world nations. And so they don't have the resources to combat this. And the first world nations burning fossil fuels are devastating the climate and causing the destruction on these small nations that we need to step up and help. And at the last COP, the climate change conference, the first world ignored it again and did not step up and did not offer money to help these nations survive the onslaught of climate change that the first world nations have created. It's a really sad thing. Greed is still ruling much of our world.
Well, Kelly has gotten off the line, but I'd like to thank her for her personal observation. And
yes.
We'll go on to Derek in Tampa. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning. Happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day.
All right. So I was commenting on the on the words that were spoken in regards to climate change. And a lot of that is a personal responsibility. I think we've gone towards the path of relying on government to actually do something about it. Like you were saying before, all this has to be done on a local level. We have to take accountability, you know, and spread that good spirit across the board itself. I mean, if you can imagine, if everyone took the time, grew their own food, that would put a chokehold on, you know, big corporations such as Publix, Walmart, et cetera, choke them right in the neck. That's how you get them. If we consumers rely on them, we keep on doing what they're doing.
You are so right. You know, I've talked about the Victory Garden here before, I believe, but the Victory Garden is something that was present in World War II. It's what helped America win the war, because we had all Americans growing their own food on their own properties. And I believe that now is the time when Americans need to begin growing their own food again. There's no reason for us not to have a small plot of vegetables on our yards. I have a whole food forest on my yard because my son's a sustainable gardener. But you're so right. We need to act individually.
Yep.
And step up.
Politicians are going to do what they got to do to get the vote. And the vote.
I totally disagree with that. Politicians are actually equally responsible and more so. And government has a very large role, because you and I cannot control corporations. And the corporations are actually promoting more and more use of fossil fuels. The corporations are fighting the rules on emissions and on gas mileage. And they're fighting the conversion to electric. Corporations are in need of very vast reining in by our government. But the problem is, our government is owned by those very same corporations. So I have heard your argument before, and it's actually a very interesting propaganda twist that's created by these large corporations to convince you that you're responsible. Burden shifting from the corporation to the individual is actually a part of the corporate propaganda that keeps you thinking you're guilty and responsible for climate change, when in actuality, you don't have much choice. You have to drive to work. You can't choose not to drive to work, because in Florida, we don't have public transportation that was worth anything. We are forced to drive. We are forced to spend fossil fuels. This is part of the plan to make more money for Exxon. We subsidize Exxon. They don't pay any taxes. We give them money to keep screwing us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just personal responsibility, though. Each of us needs to take an act.
Yeah, but it's wonderful out here that you have a garden. Nothing ticks me off than around through the subdivision and seeing a front yard full of grass.
I agree. It's so painful. It's just absolutely painful. And knowing that they're spraying pesticide on it, and the people that have those xeriscape landscapes that are all white pebbles, you know, they kill the entire microbiome with Roundup. It's hideous. They're creating a nasty problem, and it looks pretty. No, thank you.
those are my comments. All right.
Thank you, sir. Have a great Earth Week.
You as well.
Thank you there, Derek. And we do have calls from Peter and Daryl in St. Pete, but I'm going to give out the phone number again and email address. And I know, Doctor, you've gotten a slew of emails, so I'll give you a chance to glean over those. So, folks.
Yes, sir.
This is the Ask Me Anything Monday show of the Healthy Steps radio show on WMNF Tampa. Give us a call at 813-239-9663 so you can ask your questions and get your answers. Irene will put you in the queue and get you on the air. The number again is 813-239-9663, or continue to send your emails to dj@wmnf.org. You want callers or email?
Let's go with Peter, and I'll hit emails since we're done with these two folks.
All right, sounds great. Got Peter, Daryl, and George. Good morning there, Peter.
Good morning, Doc. How are you? This is Palm Harbor Pete, but I'm up in St. John's visiting.
How you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you. I have a friend of mine who has some issues, though, and I was hoping that you could perhaps discuss them a bit. So she's 42 years old. For maybe the past year or so, she would have pain coming across her stomach once or twice a year. And then now it seems to be getting, more frequent, but it's extreme debilitating form across her stomach. And then it goes up her left side to her left shoulder, followed by nausea for like 8 hours. And then there's pain lessens, but it remains for 3 to 7 days, increasing in duration with each incident, and several days of fullness and loss of appetite. So, I am not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV, Doc, but I know you are. any idea what that might be?
It's pretty vague. It could be a lot of different things. But whenever I hear descriptions like that, I think of a trigger, some kind of trigger to the immune system or the nervous system. Since it's rare, it doesn't sound like it's some food she's eating regularly. So maybe there's something she eats once in a while that is a trigger. Maybe it's an exposure to a bacteria or a dye or a flavor or something like that. It's so hard to tell. But generally, when people have discomfort like this, I start them off with an elimination diet and have them get rid of some of the things that we know are big triggers, like eggs and dairy and gluten products, and see if they get better.
Yeah, she is a vegan, and my granddaughter has gluten sensitivity, so there's not a lot of gluten involved at all. Vegetarian, vegan, I kind of thought that maybe that might have something to do with it. I don't know.
Well, it could, yes, because many different vegetables and fruits have different chemicals in them, like lectins or oxalates, and those can be specifically triggering chemicals too. Star fruit has carambatoxin and oxalates in it that can irritate. And so, yeah, I think it's worth it to keep a food and symptom diary to figure out if foods are actually producing the symptoms.
Okay. She went to the doctor, and the doctor said, I hate to tell you this, but it sounds like colon cancer to me, and which would raise a huge alarm, of course. So she is going to go for an endoscopy and a colonoscopy, and see if there's any correlation there.
Yeah, I've never heard of colon cancer showing up as pain. It's a silent killer, and so usually there's changes in bowel habits and things like that, but acute excruciating pain is not a cancer symptom. So I don't know where that guy trained or how long he's been in practice, but in 30 years, I've not heard that as a symptom of presenting colon cancer.
Yeah. And that's why I'm calling you, Doc, because I'm very skeptical of the medical establishment, aside from you and people like you.
I'm not in the medical establishment.
Well, a surgeon is not going to make money until they cut you. So,
There is that.
Yeah. So,
a scopologist doesn't make money till they scope you.
There we go. So, a food or symptom, like a diary, right?
Yeah. Just write down everything that's eaten and every time you have a symptom, and then you'll be able to maybe correlate with a pattern.
Okay. All right. And then in the meantime, an endoscopy or a colonoscopy wouldn't hurt anyway.
Sure.
Just to have it done, right?
So yeah, there's a risk for every procedure, but those are fairly low risk procedures.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting that there's no pain, for that type of cancer. And she watches very carefully what she eats, but maybe... you can go the wrong way even if it sounds healthy. I mean, if you cut out butter or oils, there's no oils, there's no, they don't eat any dairy or anything. It's like,
humans need oils. Humans absolutely need oils. Our cell membranes are all oil. 10% of our cell membranes is cholesterol. 60% is phosphatidylcholine. The sources for choline come from egg yolks and liver. And so it's really interesting that many people are living a vegan diet. They need to be getting their soy lecithin or their sunflower lecithin so they can get the choline they need in a high enough quantity to actually build their cell membranes.
I agree 100%. Okay.
So, good luck with that exploration, sir. I hope she finds somebody to get to the root of this.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Thanks so much for your input, Doc. I appreciate it as usual. Have a great, happy Earth Day, and keep preaching the right thing.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, take care, Doc. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You too.
All righty, and we still have got a full board. I got Daryl, George, Bruce, and somebody just creeping on in. So let's go to Daryl. Good morning there, Daryl.
Hello, Doctor. A couple of comments. Climate change deniers that I've run into, I asked them, I said, did you know in 1991 we had congressional hearings on this? They had Lawrence Livermore Laboratory, National Academy of Sciences, Department of Defense, et cetera.
Yes.
And out of that, and I had the documents with all the arrows and diagrams and so on, but one of the things out of that was the Department of Defense wrote a paper on this,
yes,
on the coming, one of the major climate change things and what the effects were going to be. And this was, they claimed that this was going to be one of the major destabilizing effects for this planet.
Because it is.
People are tribalists. You know, tribalism, and people are talking about immigrants and all the threat of immigrants. Well, that's what they were talking about, is there's going to,
yes,
be massive migrations of,
yes,
people trying to move out of areas because they no longer have resources. And, of course, where they're going to go, where they're desperate. Desperate people do desperate things, and that's what they were telling about. This is going to be a major destabilization because the people that have don't want the people coming in and trying to take what they have. And that was one,
right,
of the things.
And unethical people in media are using it to create fear in Americans who are ignorant of what's actually happening, because they've been kept ignorant about climate change by the same media that keeps spouting propaganda that confuses these ignorant people, so they actually don't understand what's real about climate change, and then they don't understand what's real about the massive movement of human people on this planet. And these same disingenuous fake journalists are actually saying that these are planned invasions by China and Russia, when in actuality, it's people, you know, running away from authoritarian regimes like China and Russia and away from drought, poverty, and starvation.
And a comment on, of course, with the climate change is the advent of all these increases of diseases, which I've followed for decades. Dengue fever, yellow fever, et cetera, and you mentioned,
yes,
Lyme disease. Well, I've had,
yes,
friends and relations who have gotten Lyme disease, and it dramatically changed their lives. One was one,
yes,
of the top dentists in the country, and he had to give up his practice because he could no longer feel his fingers. You have to have dexterity, and he,
right,
had to sell his practice. It gave up. But another aspect of this is I have a friend, a childhood friend. He's one of the top immunologists in the world. Last year, he was awarded a Lifetime Achievement Award in immunology, named after a Nobel Prize winner.
Wonderful.
And George was over in Siberia working with a Russian scientist. This was before the COVID thing. And it was a tick-borne encephalitis that's deadly. And he said it was dramatically expanding. Well, I ended up in the hospital from a accident. While I was there, when he first contacted me, he says, well, it's already in London and affecting people. And then before I left the hospital, he called me and he says, well, it's now in the United States. It's in New Hampshire and where else? It was New York, I think it was. And he said that it's already killed people there. So this tick-borne encephalitis is another deadly disease that's rising from the global warming.
Yes. And that sounds hard to believe, I'm sure, to many people, but the reason it's occurring is that the ticks that live on deer are having a field day because the deer populations have exploded and the winters are not cold enough to kill off the tick population, which used to be enough to control the pandemic. But now that the ticks aren't dying off, the sustaining levels of the Lyme disease in the population are remaining higher and going higher, so we're seeing more and more of it.
And we also have the problem of the mass killing off of so many of the predators that were necessary to keep the deer in check, as an example. And so we're just creating our own problems here.
Indeed. Thanks for the input, Daryl.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you there, Daryl. And I do have George and Nan on the line, but I'm going to give on out the number again. We're down to, the last 20 minutes of the Healthy Steps radio show here on WMNF Tampa. Give us a call at 813-239-9663 or continue to send your emails to dj@wmnf.org. I don't want Irene to be lonely in that phone booth over there, so give her a call. The number 813-239-9663. She's the greatest. Let's go to George in Davenport. Good morning, George.
Good morning. How are you doing today? I've been living in Florida since 1981, and I would like to bring my attention to the political situation in Florida. I've been listening to WMNF ever since I moved to Florida, and you guys are the most informative station that I could get all my information from instead of with the mass media. My point is that since I've been living here, I'm talking about the politicians. The politicians work for us, but they don't really work for us. They say they do,
right,
but they don't.
They're
corporate, paid for, and bought for. Now, when Jeb Bush was governor, he had the opportunity, or Florida had the opportunity, to get the train, the bullet train. He declined twice after the voters wanted it. Okay.
Right.
The reason why he wanted it to decline is because his family is in the oil industry. Okay. The same thing with Rick Scott. Rick Scott did the same thing. Now, we have a present governor, and I hate to point it out, but these are all Republican governors. Okay.
Well, no, point it out because it's real. We know who they are.
Oh, yeah, we know who they are. You know what I'm saying? So, but the point is that now Rick Scott wants to build more roads. We don't need more roads. We need
less
development and more conservation.
Rick Scott got rid of the bullet train again because his cronies in the Florida legislature all own land and development companies that go up through the wilderness corridor that they decided to cut in half by this road just so some contractors and some road developers can make some cash off the state of Florida taxpayers.
Well, they're doing it now. I live over here in Davenport. I moved out of Tampa to move into so-called the country. Now, I've been living here for about 13 years now. I bought and paid for my home and everything else like that. And I have.
Now they're ruining your neighborhood with a highway.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. The thing is, it's like it used to take me 20 minutes to go to the grocery store. Now it takes me approximately an hour, okay? So I have to make sure and schedule. So when I go to the grocery store, and I'm very conscious of what I buy, I try to grow as much possible on my land, you know, for what we have. So
that's
I can eat better and live healthier. And all they're doing is building more houses. I mean, I remember when I first moved here, you could drive from Lake Wales all the way up to Claremont, and there was nothing but orange groves. Now there's nothing but houses.
Right.
You know, and it's like, you know, I mean, I don't leave the house if I don't have to. You know, and that's really depriving my personal space and freedom to enjoy my life.
So your health is impacted by bad decisions by our politicians. Time to vote the bums out. But let's leave politics behind for now and get back to health. Any other health-related comments you have today, my friend?
The health comments is that I built a small garden, okay, with tomatoes, pineapples, you know, peaches, everything. You know, and we eat very well off our property, you know. But the thing is that that's the way to do it. It's live off the land as much as you can, because the thing is, what you put in your body is your temple. So you don't want to put any ill items in there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And if we eat healthier, you live longer.
That's exactly. I love your approach. I have a garden, a food forest on my land, and it's really wonderful to be able to share with the neighbors and the family and eat some really nice, fresh things. My neighbor just handed me a homegrown tomato yesterday. There's nothing like a tomato off of your property. Oh, my word. So tasty.
Well, the thing is, it's like I have a neighbor who is a vegan. So what I do is, like, I mean, I have a bumper crop of small little tomatoes.
Yeah.
I gave her as many as possible. I mean, I can't eat them all. I'm still harvesting tomatoes now.
Right. That's the abundance of it. I love being able to share. So thank you for your input. I think we have another caller.
Indeed, okay, we do.
Sir, and thank you, and you have a good day, sir.
You too.
Thank you, George. Let's go to, I've got Nan on the line. Good morning, Nan. You got a comment for us?
I'm an environmental historian, and I have done a lot of work on what's going on in the development with the state of Florida. And one thing I'd like to call everybody's attention to are microsystems. We don't seem to understand that all of this development is creating more and more pollution and straining into the water system. And recently at FIU down around Miami, they have found that the microcystins in the canals and so forth, the blue-green algae blooms, actually are aerosoled, and so that they can actually get into people's systems. If you live near a canal or anywhere near the water, red tide, the same thing.
Yes.
All of this development is just creating more and more of that. And it's actually, I think it's contributing to dementia and brain problems and so forth.
It is. We know that particulates increase dementia risk, and construction creates more particulates.
Yeah. Living on the canals and participating in this, it's so much waste goes into the water. And they still continue to allow the development. The other thing about migration is when you have migration going on, migration is only caused by people wanting to move from where they're at, which is usually poverty or an environmental disaster. And so they will move. But, for example, the transmission of diseases, Ebola was always deep in the Congo, and it was indigenous to that area. It never got out until they built the Trans-African Highway.
Exactly. Yeah. Development is opening up the world to all kinds of interesting and amazing things.
Right.
not necessarily all good.
Right. But I think people need to pay more attention to development and talk to our politicians, because all the orange groves are being turned into housing developments now, which creates more and more problem. And since they eliminated the concurrent laws that they used to have, which required a developer to put in certain infrastructure like a sewer system and so forth before they built the houses, now it's all up to the county, and that's why so many people are on septic tanks in this.
I'm disgusted with Sarasota County, because Sarasota County's 2050 plan actually required that part of infrastructure development by the developers going out east, but now we have these sprawling tracts where they don't have to do it. The roads aren't any wider. They haven't done any more infrastructure development because the county let them off the hook, and we are going to have to pay for the developers' profit out of our tax dollars. And I think that's absolutely egregious. And there's so many things happening, like the fools in Manatee County that are allowing radioactive gypsum effluvium water to be pumped below the aquifer. Sick.
Oh, yeah.
These people are deranged, and they need to be thwarted. But we got to move on, Nan. I got to keep going. We got four more callers.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Harvey. Bye-bye.
Thank you, my dear.
Thank you very much, Nan. We always appreciate you calling on in. Let's go to John in Central Florida. Good morning, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, John.
Hey, I'm just driving through. I'm from Virginia, and I called your radio station, and I wanted to make a statement. I'm not a climate denier. I think climate has changed in our history of our world, and I think it's a natural progression. But I think where the problem lies is when it changes too rapidly for the ecosystems, for us to adapt to it.
And that's right.
I think, you know, so, you know, that's all I wanted to say.
Well, beautiful. Yeah. And it totally fits in with exactly the model that we're talking about, because man has accelerated that natural climate change. The planet goes through climate change, but we have.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We have put so much carbon into the atmosphere that we don't have any way to get away from the change now. We keep putting more and more in and more particulate. And so man is actually creating the rapid rise of the last century.
Right. Just like fossil fuels, the carbon. I think that's the recycling of old, you know, ancient forests and swamps, you know.
Yeah.
So we're kind of liberating old carbon, but we're liberating it at far too fast of a rate for us to adjust to it.
And we're cutting down our rainforests that actually have actually sequestered the carbon in the past. So we're actually doing double damage to the ecosystem.
Correct. But I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for your call.
Thank you very much, John, and drive safely while you're out there. Let's
Indeed.
Go to Aaron. We're down to about the last 10 minutes of the show. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning, guys. How are we doing?
Excellent. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to know your thoughts, Doc, on chemicals being sprayed into the air, like stuff like chemtrails. Like, what is your thoughts? What is your knowledge on that?
Well, there's virtually nothing that's of evidence when it comes to, quotes, chemtrails. But, you know, when a fossil fuel engine blasts, you know, effluvium out its butt at 1,400 degrees, it's going to have titanium, aluminum, alloy particles in it, because that stuff's going to vaporize off the surface of the fan blades and the turbo fans, and it's going to have all the pollutants that are in the jet fuel. And so, yeah, there's chemicals there. I don't think anything's purposefully added, though it might be. I think they do some cloud seeding, but I think that's a very purposeful thing. I don't think our jets are all filled with weird stuff. However, we don't need that. We don't need that. We have industry that does this for us. Houston, the largest oil refinery on the planet, puts into the atmosphere mercury vapor at an excessive rate, as do all of those little platforms all around the rim of the Gulf of Mexico that spew petrochem vapor that gets burned and puts mercury vapor into the atmosphere. The entire rim of the Gulf of Mexico and all of Florida and going up the west side of the Appalachians is a mercury red zone, atmospheric hot area for the EPA. We pollute ourselves. We don't need to add more. Industry does it for us.
I'm definitely not a proponent for this, but I mean, there's definitely plenty of evidence. I mean, there's college level courses now on weather modification. I mean,
that's not all jets.
Well, so much of this stuff is like above the clouds. That's why, like, when you see these trails in the sky, you never hear these jets. They're way higher than any kind of commercial airliner. Like, they even did a segment on Good Morning America a few years ago. You could find this video online where they're literally explaining how over the past few years they've increased snowfall in Colorado by leaving chemtrails in the sky of
We know they do cloud seeding. I just don't know how much. I don't follow it. I think there's enough other environmental issues that I don't need to be following that too, because I don't have any way to control it. So I focus on the things that I know that I can actually get some movement on.
So now, like, besides the cloud seeding and trying to make it rain, make it snow, now what I'm reading and understanding is actually some of this stuff that they're spraying now is actually acts as a UV amplifier. So it like amplifies the UV shining down to the earth. The light reflects back up, and then this artificial blanket they're creating in the sky reflects it right back down. So
it sounds like we're trying to build global warming. I have no idea. I have not read any of that stuff.
How much of this is actually agriculture people trying to make it not rain and actually making the planet hotter?
And how much of it is actually just complete fiction? I don't know. So we'll find out someday, I think. But thank you. Thank you for your input.
Thank you very much there, Aaron. Let's go to, I guess it's Layla. Good morning, Layla.
Hello.
Hello. Hi there. What you got for us?
Hi, it's Lorena. I'm an Osprey. I just wanted to touch on a few things in terms of what we can change for all of these new developments that are coming in that want these picture-perfect Hollywood set-looking like lawns that use a ton of chemicals to make them stay that way. We need to shift that model to something that's more sustainable, something that's native, and put the right plant in the right place, and then we won't need all of those chemicals to maintain that plant.
I like that. When are we going to get a ban on irrigation of St. Augustine and pesticide and herbicide use and fertilizer on St. Augustine? That's the ban I want to see happen.
Exactly. Statistically shown, they say that it doesn't actually help the plant grow. So we're giving it stuff that it doesn't even need.
Right.
Aside from that, I want to talk about the natural pattern of what the earth does. It is a living entity, and as it goes through its cycle, and animals and insects specifically are shifting where their territory range is, and therefore the spread of Lyme disease ends up becoming more increased due to the tick's habitat expanding. And I don't
exactly
think people really take that into consideration.
They don't.
Aside from that, I'm wondering if you might be able to talk to the topic of the CD57 test and if you find it effective, what do you use it for, and how could it be helpful?
All right. That's an end of the show question that could take a half hour to talk about. CD57 is an immune cell line, and it is involved with chronic immunity and definitely something to talk about at a different time. But I don't use that test very often because it's just I haven't found it that clinically useful. Thank you, though.
Thank
good
you.
Questions.
Thank
so I think I'll hit a couple of emails today. Got one from Jerry about arthritis. His wife has been experiencing arthritis since she gave birth. And he wants to know what they could do since she is currently nursing. I think one of the best things you can do for arthritis pain is take some fish oil. And fish oil is going to help the baby's brain develop. So, you know, getting a couple thousand milligrams of good quality, clean, tested for mercury kind of fish oil is a great thing to help support both anti-inflammatory and also baby brain health. Oh, Robin from Ann Arbor sent us another poem, a prayer. It's the Earth Day prayer. How do we dare to walk so strong, do so much wrong when we don't naturally belong here? Earth Day prayer. It's not fair. We wear down trees, kill birds and bees, pollute the seas. Fear. Earth Day prayer. We gotta care about the land, take a stand. The fire's been fanned. Sear. The Earth Day prayer. Rockets do glare, make you blind, not know your mind. We're so unkind. Tear. Earth Day prayer. Breathe the air, keep it clean. Gotta go green. Mother Nature is queen. Cheer. Earth Day prayer, your soul to bear, kneel down and pray for a better way, or nature just may disappear. Robin, thank you so much. As always, such an enlightening boost for our mood. Thank you again. This has been a great show. I really appreciate all of your very, very engaged commentary today. And well, I'm going to do another Ask Me Anything next week. Thank you, Bill, for production. Oh, and I just wanted to say, Tanya mentioned, why can't ticks give us something good? You know, like the big blue tick superhero, give us some superpowers? It would be great, but I remember the blue tick was pretty chaotic and he tried to do good, but he didn't quite get it there. But anyway, thank you, Tanya, for that. Have a great day.
I can see her waving back to you there, Doctor. All right. I'd like to thank you, Doctor, for another wonderful show. AMA always is a special kind of show. And I'd like to thank Irene, but I'd also want to make a shout on out to all of our callers and participants. You all make the show. Stay healthy. Take care. You're the greatest.
You have been listening to the Healthy Steps radio show with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa. Coming on up next is 5 minutes of NPR News, followed by the Sustainable Living Show, hosted by the exalted duo of Annie Ellis and Tanya Vidovic. Until next Monday at 10 a.m., thank you for supporting and listening to the Healthy Steps radio show with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa, your community-conscious radio station. Stay safe, stay thoughtful, and know that you are loved.